My body.
Greetings to each one of you this morning. It is good to be together here and to share once again. I was impressed with the Sunday school lesson and how again I will be able to tie it to the sermon here at the end. We'll talk about that a little bit. While you were singing that song, I suddenly had a thought of a reading or a poem that I think is in the Songs of Faith and Praise that I would have liked to grab quick, but I couldn't find it. I think it's called The Conduit. How many ever read The Conduit in the Songs of Faith and Praise? I don't think I can say it, but I can tell you about it. It talks about that in the temple court, it's talking about the Passover, that the crowds are starting to fill the outer court, and Passover day, lots of lambs were slaughtered. And it sets the stage that there is a conduit that runs from the altar down to the Jordan River, the Kidron River, whichever river that is, Kidron River or Jordan River, I'm not sure. But that on the day of sacrifice, that there is a fairly massive amount of blood from all of the lambs that were slaughtered that would run down and turn the river red. And it pictures this man and his group of followers poised to cross the river, and he stoops and he touches the water.
Excuse me.
It was Jesus on the way to Calvary. And that's how the conduit reads. And I'm touched by that this morning. So you may turn with me to Numbers chapter 28. Not sure why that gets me this morning, but in Numbers 28, we're talking about the daily sacrifice. And I would like to title the message this morning, The Daily Sacrifice. Some time ago, somebody gave me a text with a link to a song and said that they're positive there's a sermon in here somewhere. And I looked it over and was like, yeah, there is definitely a sermon in this song. It's called The Daily Sacrifice by Hope Song. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can look it up on YouTube or Spotify. The Daily Sacrifice. Numbers 28, I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire. For a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And the tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be a fourth part of an hin, for one lamb, and in the holy place thou shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even as the meat offering of the morning, and the drink offering thereof, and thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." So we read these things, and we read in Leviticus, and we read in Exodus and Numbers, all about the offerings and the tabernacle service, and to me, it's always been kind of dry. Like, it's just a method, a procedure, a thing that they had to do day after day after day, year after year after year, generation after generation, and this is what God had asked of His people. And so that's what they did. And I think for them, as well as for us, as we live out our lives, that it could have become very commonplace to them. There are things that we do in our Christian lives that I think can become a fear, or there is a danger of it becoming very commonplace to us, and that we go through the rituals and the motions of being a Christian and living for God, and our hearts are not as touched by it as they ought to be. So as we look at this, and I'm not an Old Testament scholar, I don't know that much about the tabernacle, and so as we go through this morning, these verses, it may well be that one of you out there knows more about this than I do, and I would welcome those comments. I think as I read in Exodus, this same passage, it also talked about that, where here it says about two lambs, I think there were some options. I think there was a bullock they could bring. There's also a community aspect. I don't think every family brought this. It was more the service in the tabernacle. The one question I had that I didn't get an answer for, and I'm wondering if anybody could answer, is, were the sacrifices only made in Jerusalem? Were there sacrifices done at the synagogues too? Or did the synagogue only happen after the temple worship had stopped? After the captivity. So that was, so that, okay. So if you didn't live in Jerusalem, you didn't see normal sacrificing most of the time? Is that correct? I just don't know that. I think that's kind of interesting that only a portion of the people actually ever really were there on a regular basis, maybe. I'm not sure. But it seemed like to me in studying it that the sacrificing actually only happened at Jerusalem. So, two lambs, one morning and one evening. Also a grain offering, or we would say a meal offering. The New King, or the King James calls it a meat offering, but it wasn't meat. It was a fine flour mixed with oil, and also a drink offering of wine poured out before God. What I learned in this study is this happened every day, twice a day, morning and evening. We can read about the morning and evening oblation. Okay, the word oblation means a gift or an honor given to. The word here in verse 2, where it says, my offering, my bread for my sacrifices, the Hebrew word there is korban. There are other words that are used for sacrifice in some other places, but this word here is korban, which I think is the same word that is used in that New Testament passage where you give something to your parents and then take it back, and you're not supposed to call it. You know, don't call this korban, all right? Don't say this is korban, because the word korban means a gift that is dedicated to God with the act of drawing close. And so this worship, this sacrifice that was being offered day by day, morning and night, was an action of worship where the people were called to draw close to God. And so when we look at the Old Testament sacrifices and it seems so mundane and so ritualistic to us, God was setting up a way for His people to draw close to Him in heart, not just by actions, but in heart, morning and evening. And that's the daily sacrifice. That's the meaning of the daily sacrifice. And today, in summary, our lives should be lived out before God in such a way that we are functioning in the daily sacrifice. Our lives should be a daily sacrifice unto God. In the same way that God had asked His people to draw near unto Him and He to them, in, as the Sunday school talked about, a love relationship. That's the tide of the Sunday school lesson. The whole purpose of the sacrifice and God wanting His people to meet with Him there was the basis of it, was a love relationship. And we can read the verses where it says, hath God so great delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? No, He wants a relationship. He wants it to be in the context of love. It says different times here, always about a sweet savor or a pleasant aroma if you're using a different version. I'm going to pass around with you a bottle of frankincense. I would advise you not to spill this if you don't want to smell like the temple. This is very strong. But I'm going to pass it around. And it actually doesn't smell as bad as I thought it might smell. But this is frankincense. And all of the meal offerings, I was thinking about diffusing it, but then I wasn't sure if people have allergies, so I would cause someone to have to leave the place here this morning. So I chose not to do any. So if you don't want to smell this, you don't have to, but I'm going to pass it around for you. I think I'll keep the lid. And you can set it out back there somewhere then. So each time a meal offering or a grain offering was mixed, there was a third portion of what was brought was mixed with frankincense and burned on the altar. And so each, as the offering was burned, there was this sweet savor that went to God, and the meaning was God is pleased with the sacrifice. This was the connection of pleasantness between God and His people. And that's why they used the frankincense. And then the other two-thirds portion was given to the priests, and it was theirs to eat, actually. But let's begin with the first offering. While you pass it around, the offerings that are talked about here, the first one is the burnt offering. And this had several offerings that were used, a young bullock, a ram, a first-year lamb without blemish, or a goat. It was to be offered to God in an acknowledgement of His atonement for sin. That was the burnt offering. And it was to be given completely to God. It was burned up completely, and it was all offered to God. Not so with the other offerings. Not so with the grain offering. A portion of that was given to the priest. But with the burnt offering, it was all given to God. Completely consumed on the altar. And there was also very specific and very clear instructions on how it was to be done. What was supposed to be brought. How it was supposed to be prepared. What was supposed to be done with the blood. It was extremely detailed on how they were supposed to do this. And in that I see that it is God who works out our atonement. He's not giving us a lot of ways to choose and how to come to Him. God works out the atonement. God has provided sacrifice for us. He tells us how we are to come to Him and how He is going to bring us to Himself. We come to God in humility with a clean and a broken spirit. Psalm 51 comes to mind as we think of this. We do no longer offer all these sacrifices, but we come to God with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. God asks us to come to Him in sincerity and be holy unto Him. Leviticus 20:26 talks about a set-apart people from the other nations that were holy unto the Lord. It says, "And ye shall be holy unto Me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be Mine." So the burnt offering was God bringing the broken relationship between Himself and sinful mankind. He was breaking those barriers and bringing His people to Himself. And as He told them how to do these offerings day after day after day, He was creating for Himself a separate people, separated unto Himself, a holy people who were going to be His alone. God does not delight in sacrifices that come from an unrepentant heart. You may turn with me here. This is sort of the, in my opinion, the meat of what we're talking about here this morning. Micah 6, chapter 8, if we're going to get the understanding of the daily sacrifice correct, and we're going to offer a correct sacrifice, this is sort of the meat of it all. God does not delight in sacrifices that come from an unrepentant or a cold heart. And in Micah 6, very familiar verses, chapter 6, verse 6, says, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil?" See, this is talking about the daily sacrifice. "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Say, well, you're thinking there. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel 15 also and pick up this part here where Saul disobeyed God. I'll take some time here for you to get there. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. God wants us to come to Him in a full, sincere obedience with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Hebrews 10:22 says that He wants us to come to Him with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In 1 Samuel 15:22-23, it says here, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." So, here is where I think the rubber meets the road in the context of what we're thinking about here. And we can sit here in our church, and we can sit here and listen to this, and we can read it ourselves, and we can talk about the right things. We can go to our Bible studies, we can go to our men's prayer meetings, we can go to Sunday school classes and fellowship halls, and we can sit in our circle of ladies or our circle of men, and we can speak things that sound really good, and we can be really spiritual. Well, at least that's the image that we can present. And then sometimes we have to be careful that when we're not in the circle, that we criticize all the things that are going on around us, in the body, each other, others' lives, how somebody raises their children, or what that child did, or what this person did, or how that person made a business decision or not. And so, when God tells the Israelites to come before Him with pure hearts and clean hands and offer sacrifices in purity, He asks us the same. And I think we need to check ourselves sometimes. If our life is a meaningless sacrifice to God that God despises because we're not loving each other as we ought to, are we seeking to be peacemakers in relationships in the body of Christ? Are we really looking to understand our brother's point of view when we come up in situations? 1 John tells us that one of the true tests of a walk with Christ is how well we are loving in the brotherhood. That's a real significant thing there. Listen to this call to worship. Let us draw near. Hebrews 10. Let us draw near with our true heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's turn over to, we're not going to do a lot in the New Testament, but I think we should read this one from Hebrews. Hebrews 10:19-25. As I'm talking about the Old Testament and I'm looking for something in the New Testament, it's ironic to me that I'm actually finding in the Hebrews, which is very clearly written to the Jews to understand the New Covenant. Hebrews 10:19-25. Let's read these verses here. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." All right? Think about that word, Corban, which means to draw near, a gift drawing near. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled," that's tying back to the altar and the blood sacrifice, "from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with water," thinking about the laver and the priests washing themselves. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So moving on to the next offerings, from the burnt offering to the grain offering, meal offering or meat offering, there was more variation here. It could be baked, it could be fried, it could be coming as uncooked, it could come as a bowl of fine flour, very soft, very processed fine flour. They could even bring it as stalks of wheat in whole grain. They could bring a sheaf of wheat if they wanted to. It could come in as a pan, or it could come in as a loaf. These things are all specifically saying you can bring it. And the point is here, that it was more individual. You could come to God and bring what was your offering of your best to God. As I said before, as the frankincense went, what do you think? Did you like frankincense? Yeah. It wasn't actually that bad. I was kind of surprised that it wasn't. I was expecting frankincense to smell worse than that, but frankincense mixed, I believe that was 1/3. The other portion was given to the priest to eat, always with fine flour, the best that one could bring. Leviticus 2:10 says that of the daily sacrifice, the meat offering, the meal offering, it's intriguing to me that the King James says meat offering when they're talking about flour, because the burnt offering was really meat and the grain offering was the meat. What they called the meat offering was actually grain. So I'm using the term meal offering. The meal offering was the most holy unto God. The sacrifice that we bring to Him of our lives, the best we have to offer, is that which God says is the dearest to Him. It was the most holy unto God of all of the food offerings. It was to be mixed with oil and salt. I did not look into why salt was important. Maybe just so it was good for the priest to eat. I'm not sure. But it always was supposed to be mixed with salt. And I actually think maybe that was just because the priests were given a portion of it to eat. Mixed with oil. As we look at oil in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, we see it as a type of the Holy Spirit. And each one of these offerings that we bring to God, this fine flour that was brought to God, was to be mixed with oil. I find that extremely significant. As we bring our lives to God, it is supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you mix the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are changed. As the flour and the oil mixes, you can't separate them anymore. You take some oil and mix it in flour and then separate them. All right? Impossible task. The oil changes the flour. And so the Holy Spirit is supposed to be thoroughly mixed in our lives. He takes over completely. That is the picture of the Old Testament foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Another illustration of the Holy Spirit in mixing in and through. In the Old Testament, we find anointing. It said, there was another passage I read where it says that the bread that is brought in could be anointed with oil, covered over with oil. And so, as we look at the two ways that it's talked about of mixing in versus anointing, I was reminded of an illustration of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Ephesians tells us to be filled or drunk with the filling of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to fill us inside until it overflows. That's the New Testament picture of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, filling us till it overflows. He is rivers of living water flowing out of us. In the Old Testament, it would be as though as you turn the glass upside down and pour the water on the outside, and the water covers over the glass. And so if we look at the Old Testament over and over again, it says that the Spirit came upon him and he spake. The Spirit came upon him and he prophesied. And I found this when Saul prophesies with the prophets. It says the Spirit of God came upon him. Sort of like putting a cloak on, covering over. When a judge was called out to lead Israel and he did something in the land of Israel, it was said that the Spirit of God came upon him. When David was anointed king, it says that the Spirit came upon him. And so that is the function of the oil in the fine flour offering. Moving on then to the drink offering. The drink offering is the portion of wine that is poured out before God. Again, the best we have to offer. I don't know much about wine. None of us know much about wine. But wine that is aged is better. I think we know that. I don't know this, but it makes me wonder if, in fact, wine that is aged has more aroma. I'm not sure. I'm not asking if anybody knows that. But It seems that there's this sweet savor unto God. It has to do with the pouring out of the wine as well. The longer it waits, the better it tastes and the smells, or the stronger the aroma. And this is poured out before God, never to be taken back. It is given unreservedly. Okay? Another illustration for our lives. It is given to God. It is poured out, never to be taken back. And it is given unreservedly. If we would recap a little bit here, we would see that the meaning of the burnt offering in one word is justification or atonement. The burnt offering signifies justification and atonement. The meaning of the grain offering in one word was gratefulness. The goodness that God has given to me. I am grateful for what I have been given and I give back to God. The meaning of the wine offering is celebration. One of the things that I didn't know before, and I found as I studied here from Leviticus 23:10 and Numbers 15:2, is that God says, when you come into the land of your habitations, which I shall give you, that's when the drink offering started. The drink offering did not happen in the wilderness wanderings. And so the drink offering is God's celebration with His people that you have come into the land of promise. We live in the land of promise. God, we have the Holy Spirit with us today. So I'm not an Old Testament scholar, and you can check me on that. I'm entirely 100% positive that I'm correct about that. But from what I can tell, drink offerings were only required of the Israelites after they settled in the land of Canaan. So the meaning of the drink offering is one of celebration, that all is well between me and the Father. So if you take the daily sacrifice in its entirety, and there is the burnt offering that atones for my sin, and then I bring to God my best that I have to offer, my sacrifice of my life, and add to that the drink offering, which is a celebration of this love relationship between God and His people that says, all is well between me and my people. What an incredible picture of worship. That's worship. And that's what God wants from us each and every day of our lives. So, what are some concluding meanings or lessons that we can grab from this as we study? Let's note some specifics about these items that were offered. The animals were slain and blood was spilled. Blood was required to be spilled for the remission of sins in the animal sacrifice and in the death of Christ. Blood is required for atonement for sin. The grain of wheat. The grain of wheat, the olive, and the grape all had to be crushed in order to be used. All of our lives, God asks us to be emptied of self in order to be used effectively in the kingdom. Also with the grape and the wine, are you in a waiting period of your life? The longer it waits, the more aromatic and better is the wine as the wine ages. Are you in a waiting period of your life? God is turning you into a fine wine. And then worship is to be a daily thing. That involves our whole life. We are not to segment or compartmentalize. Our whole life is to be a life of worship. And I think we see that as God asks the people to come to Him morning and evening, every day, and worship. God asks His people to bring these sacrifices morning and evening. Worship involves being right with God and receiving forgiveness and justification. It involves bringing our best to God. It involves lots of surrender and lots of crushing of self. And when we're willing to let God do that in our lives, we become what He created us to be, what He wants us to be. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The same passage would be able to be read in Matthew 16 as well. And he says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? I think I'm going to stop there. So, here we're called to deny ourselves, and I see that in the offerings that were offered. Thinking about Paul. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. I wonder if he did have in mind the burnt offering that is given entirely to God when he wrote the words of Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. All right, Paul is now living in the new covenant, and he's saying it's not a dead sacrifice that is over and done, but God wants us to sacrifice to him in a living sacrifice that goes 100% to God in a daily walk. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Remember, the lamb had to be acceptable. The lamb had to be without blemish. God wants us to offer to him the sacrifice of our lives as an acceptable sacrifice. Paul also mentions the drink offering in Philippians 2:17. It says that his life is being poured out as a drink offering. So, if we live out our lives as a Christian, I think we're all familiar with the concept of being spent. I think we feel spent. We feel that there's a lot of emptying of self happens. But Paul follows that statement with saying, it's a joy. It is with joy that I do what I do. I'm emptying my life out and I'm losing it in Christ. I'm losing it for you, who he's serving. But it's a joy. And so, do we see our life of faith and devotion to God as one of commitment and bringing our best in gratefulness and celebration? Our life of worship is not supposed to be one of drudgery and do I have to do this again or my word, this is difficult. That's not how God wants us to come to him. He's asking us to come to him being willing to pour out our life as a drink offering, as a joy of service and being sacrificed before God. So the question before us today is this. Is my life or yours a meaningless sacrifice of daily grind or a life of humble and joyous gift of worship to our Creator who made us and gave us a provision for atonement in His Son Jesus Christ? Or, on the other hand, are we pouring out our life begrudgingly? That's a horrible way to live the Christian life, to live it begrudgingly. And I think that was the meaning of the daily sacrifice. God wanted his people to understand it's not just about blood and sacrifice and bringing stuff to me. There's different times we can look in the scriptures and Jesus says to the Pharisees, you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin and forget the weightier matters of the law. These you ought to have done and not left the other undone. Okay, God is calling, Jesus was calling them to think about the heart of why they came. Mark 7:6, Jesus again talking to the Pharisees says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I hope that is not true about me or you. Jesus called those people hypocrites. So that was my thoughts on this passage of Scripture this morning. Considering the daily sacrifice, I'm going to read a few of these verses from this psalm, the daily sacrifice. It says, the lamb and the wine and the flour and the oil were laid twice a day before God. That was new to me. When I first heard that, I was like, laid twice a day before. I did not realize that the daily sacrifice was done that often. So the Israelites worshiped the God that we serve, even though to us it may seem odd. No longer a lamb, but a well-broken spirit, are the sacrifice pleasing to God. My will and my way, every day in surrender, is what's pleasing to you, O God. Though battered and crushed, the wine tarries onward, waiting for the master's good will. The longer it waits, the greater its fragrance and offering pleasing to God. The one grain of wheat used to stand up so proudly has been ground to a powdery mass. Only now can be used as it lays still surrendered unto God a sweet sacrifice. The oil mixed with flour as a type of the Spirit has been made from the olive crushed fine. On the sacrifice made, baptized with fire, and then another line about receiving God's favor. So, the chorus goes, 'Twas only a shadow of the real to come. And so the sacrifice that God laid out for His people was a shadow of the real thing to come. And I'm amazed at the ways that I have thought about the Old Testament, that there was so much that they did by ritual and there wasn't much heart in it. And today we live in the heart. And yet, there really was. That's what God was calling out from them. He was calling them to live from the heart. And today, we actually have to be very careful that we don't allow the things that we do to become devoid of heart function, heart connection to God. He really wants from us a daily sacrifice in a love relationship. So let's pause for a song, and then I will close with prayer.